Live from the Colorado Media School campus in Lakewood, Colorado, the premier radio show on GoMileHigh.com, this is The Press Box.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to The Press Box on GoMileHigh.com. Happy Thursday. I am in studio with my co-host, Josh.
Sup, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Fantastic.
And we have Ian on the ones and twos. What's up, Ian?
Not much. I'm ready to sparty hard later here tonight.
Speaking of sparty hard, let's get right into it. There are brackets busted, but you have a second chance. We have the Sweet 16 kicking off here in about 30 minutes. The first game is going to be number 3 Kansas State Wildcats against number 7 Michigan State Spartans. ESPN has them basically a toss-up with Sparty Nation 50.4% and your Wildcats at 49.6%. Josh, who do you think is going to be the victor between these two?
Oh, man, it's a tough call. I think it'll be a great game, but I think I'm going to go with the Kansas State Wildcats in this one. I know that's kind of a toss-up right now with everybody thinking Michigan State's hot and Tom Izzo and all that stuff, but I'm definitely on the Kansas State bandwagon right now for sure.
All right, we got one Kansas State. Looking at the spread, it is Michigan State -1 and Moneyline -115 with Kansas State Wildcats -105. Ian, who do you think is going to be taking the win this tonight?
I mean, it's hard for me to go against Tom Izzo and his continued success in the NCAA tournament. I think it's something ridiculous, like 25 straight NCAA tournaments that Michigan State's been in. The team is absolutely rolling. Obviously, they're coming off their huge, unfortunate incident there in East Lansing with the shooting and everything. So they've been playing with a huge chip on their shoulder. But I mean, granted, I do understand that K-State is a more offensive team, averaging about 5 more points per game. But defensively, Michigan State is only allowing just over 60 points a game over the entire season. Where Kansas State, they're maybe not as up to snuff on defense. I think, you know, Josh is right. I think it's going to be a great game either way. I think the spread line's perfect at -1 because at this point, you know, it could very well come down to free throws, but I'm going to go with the experience. Give me Sparty.
Let's just hope for a great Sweet 16s, like games and no blowouts and stuff like that. That's what I'm excited for.
You want orange slices and juice boxes too?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Well, here's the thing.
Some apple slices?
Apple slices are 100% the way to go.
Yeah.
But it's not even necessarily that. It's give me the energy that I felt over the last weekend. Let me refeel that again this weekend.
I'm with you guys, but I'm going to go with Tom Izzo and his experience with Michigan State over Kansas State.
Should we put some money on it? You guys?
I mean, if you want to put it on FanDuel, build a little parlay out of right now, my wallet says,
not today.
We'll save him for another game, all right?
Yep.
The next game up is going to be my favorite, Baby Layla's UConn Huskies versus number 8 Arkansas Razorbacks. The matchup predictor has UConn 66.4% to Arkansas's 33.6. Josh, who are you liking in this match?
Oh, man. Arkansas looked really good the other night when I was watching them. But it's going to be tough for me. I'm going to go with UConn. They are, honestly, their field goal percentage is less than Arkansas's, but I like their chances with their defense and stuff like that. So I'm going to take UConn for sure.
UConn. All right. And looking at, for those bettors out there, UConn is -4 for the spread. Moneyline -190. Arkansas +158. Josh, are you going to take the Huskies or are you going to put some money down on the Razorbacks?
I mean, he did just take the Huskies.
I did.
Sorry, Ian.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. That's why I'm over here.
I would put money on the Huskies.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Honestly, I really like the Huskies here. I mean, Arkansas, they're a really great story. I love Ricky Council IV's story. If you don't know the story behind his dad and how he has named his children, it's actually a really fascinating story. But I also have followed Ricky Council because deep down in basketball world, I am a Wichita State Shockers fan. So he transferred from Wichita State over to Arkansas. So I know what he's been able to do. It's a great story. But UConn, and I said this after the first weekend, UConn truly looks like the most complete team throughout the first weekend. You know, they're beating teams by 15 or 24 respectively. I mean, defensively, they're they're allowing just under 60 points a game at 59 flat, but they're also scoring at almost 80 points a game as well. So, I mean, you're going to have to do a lot to stop this UConn team. But, yeah, I love the story of Ricky Council and the Razorbacks. But I think their Cinderella story ends here. I'm taking the Huskies.
I think we're all in agreement. I think Layla's going to take it. All right. Coming up after that, we have Florida Atlantic against Tennessee. They have Tennessee almost at 85% on the matchup predictor. Josh, do you think Florida Atlantic Owls can take the Volunteers?
I do, actually. I'm going to take a flyer on that one, and I think I'm going to go with FAU. They're playing really well, and they're really hot. And sometimes it's just about when you get hot. And I think Tennessee, I mean, I watched – it was the beginning of the season, but I watched CU kind of put a wall up on them a little bit and kind of beat them up down low. So I think that FAU definitely has what it takes to beat Tennessee. They don't scare me at all.
All right. We have the spread. Tennessee -4.5. Money line -210 for Tennessee +175. Who are you going to take on the money line, Ian?
See, and this is where it's hard for me to put money on the Volunteers because I'd have to put down 210 just to even get 100. So I feel like that might be a little bit of a stretch here, especially with how well FAU has been playing. Winners of their last 9 games, you know, they obviously have been playing some relatively close games, especially with beating Memphis in the first round by 1 and, you know, beating everybody's Cinderella in Fairleigh Dickinson by 8. I mean, they're a 16 seed. Heck yeah. They weren't even supposed to be there. We all know it. But Tennessee, their defense is so stifling over the entire season, allowing maybe 52 points a game. You know, I know that Florida Atlantic, they may match up really well, but I do think that the size of Tennessee will actually end up prevailing here in the end. So give me the Volunteers.
I will take the Volunteers as well. And to wrap up Thursday's night's game, we have #2 UCLA Bruins against #3 Gonzaga Bulldogs. We have the predictor UCLA almost 65% to Gonzaga's 35. Gonzaga's been here many a time.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you like here, Josh?
I don't know. My heart kind of says Gonzaga, but I think I'm going to go with UCLA in this one. I was able to, you know, being a CU fan, watch UCLA quite a bit this year, and they look really good, and they were super fun to watch last year and kind of go on their run. And I'm thinking and honestly kind of hoping for them to have a run this year as well. So I'm going to take UCLA Bruins in this one there, Andy.
All right. And it's basically a toss-up money line, basically both even. And then the spread is -1 for UCLA. Would you be willing to put any money on this game, Ian?
I think this game, with as tight as it is, I mean, it's essentially becoming dollar for dollar, so I wouldn't have any issues picking this game. However, I'm in agreement with Josh because I actually have UCLA winning it all. I picked them. Yeah, I picked them when we first built our brackets. Preseason, I originally had Illinois. Obviously, that didn't work out. But the way that they've been playing all season, it's so good. It's so quick. It's so fast-paced. They finally have the size, and it actually feels like old-school UCLA basketball again. Mm-hmm. And right now, I love Drew Timmy, But really, outside of Drew Timmy, what does Gonzaga have that scares me? And it's nothing. Where UCLA, you've got players all over the board. I mean, you've got Andrews, you've got Tiger Campbell. Heck of a name, by the way. I mean,
yeah,
shoot, right? I'd be more scared of a Tiger than a Timmy, but that's just me. But yeah, no, I mean, end of the day, I picked UCLA. I'm not going to run away with that. So give me UCLA tonight.
Mm-hmm. All right, I have to agree with UCLA. Gonzaga usually just leaves me wanting for more. For Friday night's game, no odds, but we're just going to see who you guys like for the early game, 4:30 Friday. We have number one Alabama Crimson Tide against number five San Diego State University Aztecs. Who do you guys like, Josh?
I think it's pretty safe to say that Alabama could be safe in this game. And I think the Crimson Tide will take this one pretty handily. What did you say the spread was?
No spread. Just
oh, no like. Spread yet. I'd say it's probably going to come out at maybe like minus six for Alabama, but I think they'll cover that if that's what it is. So I'm going to take Alabama.
Ian?
Yeah, give me Bama as well. I think San Diego State, they're a great story, a great run here, but at the end of the day, it's going to be Roll Tide.
Yep. All right. First thought in your head, give me the first answer. Miami Hurricanes or the Houston Cougars?
Give me Houston.
Miami.
All right. Does Princeton's story end here, or do they defeat Creighton?
Give me the Tigers. Keep it rolling, Princeton.
Let's go, Princeton.
All right, and finally, Xavier versus Texas.
I've got Texas.
Texas.
All right, coming back, we will be talking about the Avs and Nuggets recap here on Press Box.
If it's great radio you're looking for, then you're in the right place. Because at GoMileHigh.com, we have tons of shows discussing sports, news, politics, entertainment, community affairs, and much, much more. Awesome! Tom's awesome! And don't forget, if you miss out on one of your favorite shows, you can always access our archived episodes at GoMileHigh.com on your own time.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Go Mile High, your college radio for sports, movies, and games. Run by students, for students, and more.
Let's see what they can do here from the five.
Sports news, live games, and discussions about just about everything.
Disney turning their rides in their parks into movies.
So close, so many times, and to have that snatched away.
Come and join us every day for your favorite shows, only at GoMileHigh.com.
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, race, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
It's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Colorado sports lifestyle.
Catch your breath.
Go Mile High.
Welcome back to quarter two here at PressBox on GoMileHigh.com. We are going to be talking about the Avs and Nuggets. Let's start with the sad game of the night. The Colorado Avalanche end up losing 5-2 to Sid the Kid, with Sidney Crosby marking his 30th goal of the season. The Pittsburgh Penguins really needed this game to stay in the wild card hunt. Josh, what are some of the takeaways you saw in the game last night?
I mean, they were just like, they were losing puck battles. The defense just looked slow. And, you know, I can't just say that's like just because Cale Makar didn't play or anything like that. But I mean, he is a huge leader back there and stuff like that. So I think that had a lot to do with it. But yeah, they just didn't look motivated to win the game. And like Ian said yesterday, Pittsburgh was going to be playing with their hair on fire, and that's definitely what happened, because they came out fast and came out hard, and it was, you know, it was go time for them, and they never let up.
Ian, do you think, I mean, I've noticed this, they are not playing as well as they were last year at home. Do you think they are taking their foot off the pedal, or playing too lax at home? What do you think is causing their home record this season?
So, to defend the Avs here, they're not as healthy as they were last year. It absolutely crushed us not having Landy, having Cale Makar not being 100% healthy. That's also kind of been a hit as well. But, I mean, it's hard to put on injuries for just being... You know, I mean, to be fair, we're 19-12-5 in home. Yeah. I mean, that's still not bad. But I mean, if we count overtime losses as regular losses, we're only two games over 500 at home.
Yeah, we're not Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is a little bit painful to see us not as great at home. But we also have to remember that last year, whatever we did at home was such an anomaly that we will hardly ever see in hockey, especially in the modern day. So for us to think that we could duplicate that, that seems a little bit far-fetched. I did think that we'd be a little bit better than what the Avs have been at home, but I think it's still too soon to be really worried about the Avs playing at home, because we do still have a bit of home ice, and especially when Makar comes back and, fingers crossed, Landeskog is back for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a whole revitalized team, and we can make another deep run.
Severely motivated, probably, too.
Definitely. Absolutely. And with Makar being out day to day, it also didn't help that Evan Rodriguez was also out. Eric Johnson is ahead of schedule on his return back to the ice. The next game is not going to be until tomorrow, against the Arizona Coyotes, which will be at home. Do you think it'll be the overtime that we saw against them last game, or are we going to see another Blackhawks routing of a 5-0, Josh?
It is always close with Arizona. Like, they fight and scratch for everything they've got, and they just don't quit. I think it's going to be a fantastic game, and I look at it being, you know, a close one, and we definitely need to buckle our chin straps and, you know, get ready to fight.
Yeah. And the other way I see this, as good as Arizona has been, I think Colorado really does need to set a precedent here with these next few games against much weaker opponents, just to really make sure that we are going to be fine-tuned, ready to go. Do not take these games off. And also the fact that Arizona is 7-22-9 on the road. Don't give them that little bit of a one-upsman, oh, hey, we can beat you on your ice, ha, 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 ha. It doesn't matter how bad our record is. We can still go beat the reigning defending Stanley Cup champs. Don't let any team get that on you. You guys have to come away with the win on Friday night.
Yeah, they're not playing for any, like, playoff seeding or anything like that, but they're looking to knock the Avs off for sure. Absolutely. And, you know, the Avs just, you know, they have to be on their toes and they have to be ready for it. And like you said, yeah, they can't take a night off.
Yeah, the next three games coming up for the Avalanche are going to be Arizona at home on Friday, a home and home with Arizona, with them going to the Coyotes on Sunday, 1 p.m., and then flying out to Anaheim to face the Ducks on Monday night. The next real test for them is going to be on Wednesday. So I think that if they do what they should, we should have 6 points by the time we face Minnesota.
Yeah, and that little stretch next week when we have Minnesota and Dallas back-to-back games. Yep. I think there's a day in between those games that is so crucial for the Central Division. Yep. Because we are still one game. We still have one game in hand, but we're only two games out of taking the lead. We have to come out of this Phoenix-Anaheim draw no worse than 2-0-1. We cannot lose in regulation in these next three games.
Yeah, I mean, in Dallas, they can't stop losing in overtime. Like, they're at 14. That's insane. They're just like the overtime losing kings, I guess. I have no idea. But that's just insane to me. But yeah, you're completely right. You've got to buckle down and win these must-win, easier games. Well, you know, when you still have the tough ones that are still upcoming. There's not as many, but there's still some really tough challenges upcoming for the Avs.
Definitely.
All right, enough of that sad news. Let's jump to the Nuggets. The Nuggets cruise to a victory 118-104 against the Washington Wizards. The Joker scored 31 with 12 rebounds. Do you think this is a turn in the right direction, Ian, or are we going to see the same woes that we've been seeing lately?
Well, like I brought up yesterday on the show when we were talking about it, you know, the fact that they were -9, we needed to have a statement game from Jokic, from MPJ, from Jamal. We needed this to be the get-right game. And honestly, through the first half, it didn't look like it. But you look at those third quarter numbers, 39-16. At the end of three, we were up by 21 points. We were doing something right. So maybe Malone has finally lit the fire under the guys' butts to be like, hey, Memphis is now creeping at only 3.5 games back. We cannot afford to let off the gas like we did anymore. Let's get back to it. Let's get back to playing Nuggets brand of basketball, because last night after halftime, it actually looked like the Nuggets were back to their regular selves and what we've been accustomed to for much of the earlier part of this season.
Yeah, Coach Malone actually said that Jamal Murray took the team aside at halftime and said that they were playing through the motions. And he credits Murray with sparking a fire underneath them, which usually it's Joker, but I'm glad to see Murray stepping up to that. Let's see here. I'm trying to see who is their next opponent.
Milwaukee.
We have the Bucks. That's right.
Saturday night.
Is that prime time?
NBA TV. But yeah. 7 p.m. So you could catch it on altitude. But again, this is going to be coming back down to, okay, you know, I understand that we've also talked about the MVP discussions. Like, hey, we don't really care if Jokic wins his third. It'd be great. But I'd rather see a finals MVP on the mantle than a regular season one. But Milwaukee is obviously going to be one of possibly the big three coming out of the East, along with Boston and Philadelphia. We need to make sure that we're right, especially now getting closer to playoff time. Milwaukee has been built for late season runs in the playoffs. This is going to be a nice stepping stone to see where Denver truly does line up with Milwaukee.
You said that game was Sunday?
It's Saturday.
Oh, it's Saturday. Okay. Yes. Cause I was like, wow, they're going to play a back-to-back and then Joel Embiid comes here. So that'll be interesting. I mentioned yesterday that Kentavious or KCP needed to shoot more 3-pointers and he went 0-for-4. Yeah. Last night and 2-for-9 from the field. Yeah. So as great it is to see, you know, Michael Porter and Jamal and Jokic play well, I mean, you can't have your other starters falling off, like especially correct. KCP. And don't know what's going on with him right now, but definitely got to get out of the hole for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he really does. And I know that we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, wanting to come out of this road trip 4-1 or potentially 5-0. Yep. I mean, we came out of it 3-2. I mean, we still came out of it on the upside. which was the nicest thing that I can really say about it. But beyond that, I really think the Nuggets did kind of underperform. So, you know, like you were saying, it was nice seeing Murray pulling the team aside saying, hey, let's go, because these next two games on Saturday and Monday, those are statement games.
Real quick, I don't know if you guys saw this. I believe it was before the game, Michael Malone talking about the MVP and Joker and how they basically have been putting Joker down and he doesn't even like talking about the MVP. Do you think Michael Malone is using that to push Joker, or is it time to just stop talking about the third MVP and focus on winning a championship?
Rings over trophies. I'd rather have a ring. I'd rather have an actual finals banner.
It's a regular season trophy.
Yeah.
Like, who cares? Joker wants to win a finals, a championship.
Something that the Nuggets haven't even been to a finals. This does feel like the time, with all the injuries that have happened in the West. Yep. If we cannot capitalize this year, we are going to have issues.
Yep. Do you guys think Michael Malone would be on the hot seat for sure
if
they don't make it to the finals?
No. And I think it's stupid that people are even putting him on the hot seat. He's one of the best coaches that the Nuggets have had. And trust, we are one win away from having another 50-win season. And looking at the rest of the schedule, I mean, yes, it is a little rough, but I'm looking at April 4th. There's this team called Houston. If we can't beat Houston and get to 50 wins, no matter what,
how'd that go last
then
time?
We can talk about, you know, some coaching changes. But until then, nah, it's too soon.
Well, I mean, we saw what happened when we played the Spurs, so let's not count anyone out before we get there. I think, you know, you guys are right. The MVP is not worth it. We need a championship. And Michael Malone should be good even if he doesn't get there. But coming up next, we're going to be talking about the NFL and the XFL, and should they switch the rules and do what XFL is doing here on Press Box.
Colorado Media School, hands-on learning in one of the most exciting career fields out there. Internship opportunities are limitless. We have 3 on-campus radio stations, 2 TV stations, and you'll have the opportunity to participate in projects like doing play-by-play live from a sporting event or the 48-hour film project. We have after-graduation career placement assistance and financial aid for those who qualify. Check us out online at coloradomediaschool.com, on Facebook and Instagram, and CO Media School on Twitter and Snapchat. You can also call 303-937-7070.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
It's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it, too.
this is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
While catching a gnarly wave surfing the coast of Hawaii, trying to pick up that girl at the bar that's been staring at you all night long, getting into a deadly fist fight with a kangaroo, unexpected choking on the turkey sandwich you're eating.
There's a million places you'd never consider to text, so why do it while driving? Please stop the text, and together we can stop the wrecks.
While rapping on stage in front of a sold-out audience. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Get the message at stopthetextstoptherex.org.
Broadcasting from Belmar, Lakewood, Colorado, USA.
Go Mile High.
Streaming globally at gomilehigh.com.
And we are back from halftime, coming out of the locker room. We got hydrated. The coach gave us a little pep talk.
Apples and juice, baby.
Here at the press box on GoMileHigh.com. This segment, we are going to be talking about the XFL rules and which one the NFL should adopt.
Ooh.
So the first one is the kick formation. The XFL has the kicker lined up at the 30-yard line with the other 10 members on the opponent's 35, which is 5 yards away. Only the kicker and the returner can move until the ball is fielded. Touchbacks are spotted at the 35. Are you guys in favor or opposed to this rule?
So it's actually it's basically forcing a coffin corner.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie, I'm actually intrigued by this.
Wait, touchbacks are at the 35?
Yeah, so if the kicker boots it in the end zone, no matter what, they get
so
it at the 35.
So you need your own. Oh,
yeah, so God. You have to legit coffin corner it. Like,
oh,
part
I'm
of me,
totally
so,
in.
So part of me wants to see it, but the other part of me thinks players safety-wise.
But, I mean, they're lined up, like, what, 5 yards from each other? 10 yards from
10.
Each other?
Yeah, so they Dude. Still have that 10-yard gap.
I think.
But, I mean, one busted coverage... I mean, yeah, you pin him inside the 20, but if all the blocks hold, he's gone.
That would be super entertaining. So, I think that would be a lot of fun, especially with the athletes. Yeah. No offense to the XFL guys. But.
So I'll put it this way. I want to see it in a preseason game.
Yeah.
Before we even consider touching a regular season or a postseason game. But
yeah.
I would not mind seeing it being a test run.
That would be super interesting. I'm totally down for watching that. I think that would be... I mean, honestly, I think player safety would honestly be better. That's probably why they do it in the XFL, because you're not hitting at, you know, you're not at full sprint at 10 yards. Well, you might be close, but.
Very rarely are yeah, you. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree.
I think they're actually closer with moving the kickoff team, the other 10, 5 yards closer to the returning team. So they're not coming at a full steam, full head of steam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think is smart.
Yeah, so for sure. I mean, the NFL is all about safety, right? So
yeah. I mean, like I said, I want to see it tested in the preseason, you know, or, you know, try it. I know people will crap on the Pro Bowl because, well, it is kind of crap. But honestly, if you're going to test it anywhere, test it there. Let's see how players truly respond to it.
Anything to make the kickoffs more exciting. If they don't do that, then they should actually, if they kick it through the uprights, be rewarded some sort of point.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
But as they're doing it now, something needs to change. Mm. Speaking of that, onside kick. XFL, after scoring in the fourth quarter, teams have the alternative to kicking off the standard onside, or they can run a play of fourth and 15 from their 25-yard line.
I like this a lot better. Give me the fourth and 15 stipulation, because here's the thing. If they fall a yard short, that's still at the 39. It's essentially the same as an onside kick at that point. But, I mean, honestly, you put it in your pro. I mean, you're paying your quarterback millions upon millions of dollars to make pressure plays like this. Go out and do it again. Or if you don't trust it, then cool. That's what you have your kicking team for.
It's fourth and 15 at the 25?
At your own 25.
At your own 25. I love it. I think that would be amazing and super fun to watch. I already saw one of the XFL games that a team was down, you know, so many points. St. And then Louis they was down 15. Scored, got like the two-point conversion.
Yep.
And then took the 4th and 15, got it, and then scored and won by 1 point. Like, it just made it so much or so entertaining and super fun to watch. I think that would be another thing to maybe try in preseason.
Yeah.
I think that would be super cool.
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
Now, would you guys want it just fourth quarter only or throughout the entire game?
Fourth quarter only would be my vote because, I mean, what? You're probably just running up, trying to run up the score in, you know, someone's like tactic in Madden. You're just trying to like go for it every time you can. I think in the fourth quarter only would be what I vote for.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think, you know, you kind of have to limit when these situations do arise. Yep. But I think if you're going to test it in preseason, test it at any point. What does it matter? These games don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Another quirky one. This one I'm not too in favor of. It's the multiple options after a touchdown. The XFL gives teams a choice between a 1 point from the 2 yard line, 2 points from the 5 yard line, and 3 points from the 10 yard line. Are you guys in favor of?
Miss me with that. Miss me with this.
Like, you're playing basketball out on the football field now?
I mean, if that's the case, I'm going to go sign Steph Curry off the Warriors for this. No, I mean, right idea. It's something different. It makes it more unique, but I pass. Yeah, hard pass.
I mean, that's going to make for weird scores. I just don't like that. I think that's stupid.
Definitely not in favor of that.
And they win 5-4. Yeah. What? Yeah.
It's hockey out there.
I mean, they still can win 5-4. It'd be a very, very boring game, but.
It'd be a very defensive game, and I'm okay with this, but still, 5-4 is the final score? Nah.
How do you think the like over-unders and bets would look with like three-pointers and stuff like that in football? That would be.
Well, I mean, at that point, it's just a field goal. We already have a three-pointer.
Yeah, I guess that's.
So I mean, why do we need a three-pointer for an extra point?
Yeah, that's.
Like, no.
Maybe that's why the XFL has never worked out.
Well, here's the thing. I will give this XFL a lot more credit because the viewers are definitely there. It feels like ownership actually does truly care. They put them in a lot of good bases. Well, it's also partially Dwayne, but it's also they're putting teams back in cities that don't necessarily have a pro team. Like St. Louis, oh my God, that fan base is fantastic. But then you have teams like in San Antonio. So why not use the Alamo Dome?
They're doing exactly. Great.
You know, Orlando.
And it's super nice.
Yeah, Orlando, they have a team. Yep. DC, let's be real, they probably have a more real team than the Washington team.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I mean, it just feels like this time they actually got it right. They sat down. They took their time. Business-wise, I really think that this one's going to go a lot longer than the first one or second one. Granted, I want the original XFL teams back, like the LA Avengers and all of them. He Hate Me. Yeah, yeah. Give me the He Hate Me jersey.
I mean, The Rock is putting all of their games in primetime. Even if they're failing, he is forcing it down your throat.
Do you know what they're paying players in the XFL?
So AJ McCarron actually came out and said that he's making $60K. He turned down millions to play for $60,000 because he wanted to have his family.
Yeah, his family watching.
So, I mean, granted, the budget's definitely not there like it is the NFL.
Yeah.
I would not expect it to ever get that big.
Do you guys like the minor league thing for the NFL or
kind of treating it like a G League almost? Yeah.
Do you guys,
I mean,
what do you think
I wouldn't be
that?
Mad at that, but I think there's a lot more time that needs to be put into this in order for it to be there. But not only that, the XFL would have to change the NFL rules.
Yeah, that's true.
And plus with training camps coming up,
it could be like AAA ball where they're using all the rules in there and they're testing them and then bringing them to the MLB. It could be like that.
Yeah, that is true.
That's also called the SEC for the minor leagues of football.
Well, but not only that, you still also have the USFL, and they're getting ready to do their thing as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think no matter what, if you were going to do it with the XFL or the USFL, whichever one would align with the NFL would instantly get all the credibility, and the other football league would just dissipate.
Yeah.
So that's something else that we'd have to consider with all this.
All right. Next one, we saw the MLB trying to speed up the game. The XFL has a 35-second play clock, speakers allowed in all the helmets of the offensive players, and a 10-minute halftime. Would you guys adopt that rule?
So the play clock is essentially already there because it's 40 or 25, depending. So I would not mess with the play clock. The speaker,
the play clock's fine.
Speaker in every offensive player's helmet, that would cut down on a lot of false starts. I think it would cut down on a lot of, you know, dead ball fouls, especially on the offense.
Does it say the same thing, like, based on, like, it cuts out at the 15-second mark like the NFL does, or?
It doesn't say that. All offensive skill players, not all offensive players.
Okay, so actually I like that because in case it would take out the sound effect of, say, like, your Kansas City's, your Seattle's, so no matter what, play comms would get in. But again, I think it would cut down on false starts, and then it would really just come down to O-line. So I would be okay with that, but I think play clock, leave that as is. I really don't see a need to change it from 40 to 35. 5 seconds isn't going to change everything.
Absolutely. Last one is the replay for penalties. Coaches can issue one challenge per game of any officiating decision, including penalties.
I don't know how to feel about that one. Like, that one, I would need to see it actually used in the XFL first. I feel like that's what I would need to see first, because then I want to see, like, okay, because, I mean, if this blows up, every pass interference call would get lit up.
Right.
But again, if it's only one per game, you're going to save that for the fourth quarter. So, I mean, I think that could be interesting. But
is it like hockey when you get penalized if you're wrong?
Ooh.
And then you take away a timeout type situation.
Yeah.
I would have to think that would have to be the way that you do it.
Yeah.
But again, I would need to see it in practice first before I have any judgment on it. So I don't know yet.
So maybe the NFL is, like, watching closely what goes on in the XFL if people use these, or maybe they're using it as their own kind of test without, actually owning that,
Absolutely. So, again, I want to see it in practice first before I pass any judgment one way or another.
Definitely. Those are some rules that NFL might be considering. I would definitely like to see at least three of them come in, if not four, but not that multi after the touchdown. Would not like to see that. But coming three up points. Next, we are going to start a new segment. We are going to do some sports trivia. Ian versus Josh here at the press box on GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, my.
Taking a trip over to Tibet, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
The Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, race, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed 2 eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
While catching a gnarly wave surfing the coast of Hawaii, trying to pick up that girl at the bar that's been staring at you all night long, getting into a deadly fist fight with a kangaroo, unexpected choking on the turkey sandwich you're eating.
There's a million places you'd never consider to text, so why do it while driving? Please stop the text, and together we can stop the wrecks.
While rapping on stage in front of a sold-out audience. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Get the message at stopthetextstoptherex.org.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark and the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting from Belmont, Lakewood, Colorado. GoMileHigh.com.
Welcome back to the final quarter for the first inaugural sports trivia between Ian and Josh. Laptops are closed.
Yeah. We definitely didn't just use the last 3.5 minutes to study.
No,
it's on.
I didn't see anything. So
I have my phone still.
The rules. All right, phone down.
Here, face down. Even.
Face down. Phone down. Everything down. All right. Rules of the game. It'll be the best or the first 1 to 7. You'll both get alternating questions. If you don't know the answer, the other person can steal. Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Ian.
Okay, sure, I'll go.
All right, just going to go down the line. First question, what's the diameter?
Let's go.
It is 18, okay.
Oh.
0-0. Let's see if Josh can get on the board.
Yeah.
What sport is best known as the king of sports?
King of sports.
Not a trick question here.
The NFL.
That is incorrect. Ian.
The king of sports is, I would say it's soccer because it's the most well-known around the world. So soccer.
That is correct.
Yes.
More Ian like queen of sports.
Hey, 1-0.
1-0. All right, Ian, yes. Your next question.
Uh-oh.
What is the national sport of Canada?
Hockey.
That is incorrect.
Curling.
Also incorrect.
Ooh.
The national sport of Canada is lacrosse.
What?
So, okay. Kind of hockey, right?
Kind of hockey, kind of curling.
Okay.
Get your brooms out.
Sports question, but also a movie question, Josh. The classic 1980 movie called Raging Bull is about which real-life boxer?
I think it's about Muhammad Ali.
That is incorrect.
Dang.
Ian?
1980 boxers?
No, the movie was made in 1980.
Oh, I don't know. Sonny Liston?
Also incorrect. Blake, you're shaking in the corner.
He's Irish, right?
I don't know.
He's an Irishman.
It is Irish. Jake LaMotta.
Yeah, no, never would have had a shot at that.
No idea.
Okay, let's try and get Josh on the board. Josh, the Triple Crown Award is given to a horse that wins which 3 races?
The Kentucky Derby, the oh no. Go ahead, try to steal.
Kentucky Derby, Belmont Preakness Stakes.
2-0, Ian. All right.
I knew that one. I'm like, Triple Crown? I'm thinking baseball, horse racing. Let's go.
Ian,
yes.
Which boxer fought against Muhammad Ali and won?
There's like five. But Buster Douglas, is he not one of them?
He is not, no.
Oh.
Muhammad Ali?
Oh,
crap. I think you're thinking of Mike Tyson.
I was. Crap. Okay, well, Josh, what do you like to steal?
Dude, I actually have no idea.
I was going to say, Ali.
You said it like there's only one.
There is only one.
Ooh.
Once. He lost.
He lost once to this guy.
Oh, no.
I have no idea.
Joe Frazier.
Oh, smoking Joe Frazier.
Josh, which golf tournament did Tiger Woods win by 12 strokes, cementing his first ever major championship win? It's a major.
I was going to say, before he answers, do we have to say the year?
No.
Okay.
So you already know what this is.
I do.
Oh, man. I'm going to go... The Players.
That is incorrect.
The Masters.
Three.
I was gonna say it was 1996 too, because he was a young little kid too. It was 96 or 99. I don't remember which year.
Okay, we're back at Ian. Correct.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
I beat you with horse racing and golf, Josh. How's this making you feel?
This is terrible, honestly.
What team won the first ever football game played at night?
You're coming up with fantastic questions.
Wait, is this NFL or college? Or is this Canadian? Or can I at least get the league?
Let's skip that one.
Okay. Oh, okay. Because I was going to sit here and be like, watch, it's probably like the Rutgers Scarlet Knights or something.
Well, the question is very confusing because the answer is the Philadelphia Athletics. So I think they mistyped and it's supposed to be baseball. All right.
Okay.
Which team has the record of scoring the most points in a single Super Bowl?
Which team? The 49ers. They scored 55.
Come on, Josh. You got to do something here.
Well, to be fair, it was my question first.
That was his question. I didn't know the answer, though. So. That,
right. Well, I was just saying in general, it's 4-0. I don't want him to get skunked.
Do you have
here.
A broom?
I mean, I've got a dustpan for you.
All right, Josh. What team won three Super Bowls in the 1990s? I know you're just in the diapers.
I mean, to be fair, I was too.
Three Super Bowls, the Cowboys.
Josh, he's on the board.
Finally.
Yeah, about time, man.
Put away your dustpan.
Ooh, look at that. Philly gets a goal. Good for them.
Yep, Philly up. Let's go beat Minnesota.
Yep.
All right. Ian, which basketball player was Michael Jordan nicknamed after when he was in high school?
Can you repeat the question?
Which basketball player was Michael Jordan nicknamed after when he was in high school?
So that would have been in the 70s. It's not Magic. I got nothing. Yeah, I got nothing. I would have said Magic, but I think I'm wrong.
Julius Erving?
The correct answer was Magic Johnson.
Oh, my God.
So, Blake, should we give it to him?
Definitely right, not.
Give it to him.
Blake!
Okay. Okay, I accept that.
Josh, I'm going to give you an easy one.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Who was the youngest player to score 10,000 points in the NBA?
Nikola Jokic.
I don't think he's even close
to
that.
No, he's not.
Oh, bud.
Who is it?
It was LeBron. He's the youngest to 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, and 35,000.
All right. What a win. Seal the deal.
Uh-oh. He's gonna throw me some like 1800s like, oh my hockey God. Question.
I haven't even looked at the answer here. When he was just in eighth grade, what NBA coach appeared on Late Night with David Letterman?
When he was in eighth grade? Larry Brown.
Incorrect.
Okay.
Repeat the question.
He was in eighth grade, and he was on the David Letterman show. What NBA coach am I talking about?
Dude, I have nothing.
Frank Vogel.
Oh, yeah, because I'm totally paying attention to Lakers coaches.
And Letterman.
Yeah.
We're still in this pandemic. Who was the first NBA player to test positive for COVID-19? Josh.
Rudy Gobert.
Attaboy, get on the board. Actually,
that's twice, actually.
I know, but here's the thing. You've still got four to catch me. I only need one. So, actually, you know what? We're going to start with him the rest of the way.
Oh, wasn't okay.
That when he, like, touched all the mics and stuff?
And literally the next night that's right.
That's so
March 11th, 2020.
That's when the entire world shut down, when that happened.
Yeah, I remember freaking out in my apartment at the time. Like, I was legit thinking, okay, this is nothing. This is nothing. The NBA is canceling its season. Okay, now I'm taking it seriously.
Yeah, I was up in Blackhawk at Ameristar when I got the news.
Crazy.
All right, because we're in March Madness, Josh, what are the two states in the United States that have yet to send a team to the NCAA?
Tournament?
That's not correct. I'm sorry.
Isn't it Alaska and Hawaii?
It's Alaska and Maine, but that question's written incorrectly.
Wait, Hawaii? Let's go, Warriors.
Let's go to baseball. Who was the first major leaguer player to pitch over 100 miles an hour?
The first?
To be clocked over 100 miles an hour.
No idea.
Randy Johnson?
Nolan Ryan.
Oh.
The second fastest was his fist to Ventura's head.
Not wrong.
Okay.
Who, right, Josh, come on, buddy.
Yeah. Josh, who was the first player to appear on a Wheaties box? MLB.
On a Wheaties box? Barry Bonds.
Wow, okay.
It was a lot earlier than that. Was it Yogi Berra?
Right team, it was Lou Gehrig.
Ah.
All right, let's try and end this here.
Please.
Josh, what is the most stolen base?
Most stolen bases?
Like
no, most stolen, just between any base, what's the most stolen base?
Second.
Hey!
There we go. All right, 6-3.
Trick question?
There you go. The base that's no longer there.
All right. What is the only team in the NFL to neither host nor play in a Super Bowl?
Neither host nor play in the Super Bowl. Let's go. Lions.
That is incorrect.
They hosted Super Bowl 40.
And who's never been
but to. But you got to go a little bit further out on a Lake Erie to Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns.
Ian wins the first ever trivia show.
Let's go.
My God. It was so close.
Hey, you made a little bit of a comeback there.
Absolutely. Before we wrap up, any last words, Ian?
No, I mean, obviously I'm excited for the Sweet 16. I really hope that Princeton pulls it out and makes a little bit more of a run, but I really think we're getting down to some of the best college basketball games that we're going to see all season, and I can't wait for this.
Yeah, definitely. Should we pick a Final Four? Super fast?
I mean, I've got UCLA and Texas, and I don't care who comes out of the left side of the bracket because it got annihilated day
one. Oh, man. You said you picked UCLA, right?
Yeah, I had UCLA winning it all.
Ooh, that's hard. Pick your winner. That's tough to beat.
Yep. Give me UCLA.
Josh? I'll take UConn.
You can't take UConn. I took UConn from day one.
Dang it.
Can have Houston. You can have Alabama.
Yeah, I'll take Houston.
All right. Well, that will do it for us. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Ian. This has been the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com.